Okay, Alexander, let's talk about Armenia and the elections there. And this story kind of took me back because I didn't expect it. But the Armenian leader, Pashinyan, won a landslide victory in parliamentary elections. And what does he say? The man that at a time was thought to be in NATO's pocket and maybe in George Soros's pocket, that's what many publications and many analysts were saying, and I'm not doubting them one way or another, but he says his mandate is to deepen ties with Russian-led blocs, i.e. to deepen ties with Russia. It's an important story because it comes after the terrible conflict that took place in Nagorno-Karabakh with Azerbaijan and Turkey, and what took place after that, the consequences of that war. Pashinyan was super unpopular. I guess there's no other way to say it, but here he is, landslide victory. What is going on here?
Well, I think the first thing to say about this is that it was a landslide victory, won on a very low turnout. I mean, less than 50%, I understand. So he's not exactly popular in Armenia, but he's the only person, because that's the other big story of this. There is no real opposition to him. There's no single political leader who was able to unite those Armenians who might oppose him. I gather, by the way, that in Yerevan, the capital, he did a lot less well. In fact, I gather that the opposition parties won a landslide in Yerevan, but he won pretty much everywhere else. And he won everywhere else because he is the only person who seems to be in a position to talk to to lead the country, because he's the only viable opposition leader. He's also shown, and I think this is a point one needs to make, a certain tenacity as a political leader. I mean, it takes a lot to stay in power after losing a war and, facing down protests in that kind of way. But I think one of the major reasons he won is because it's become increasingly clear over the last few weeks and months that the Russians back him. And I think the reasons the Russians back him is because they have him exactly where they want him, in the sense that from their point of view, he is the person who signed off to all those agreements that the Russians brokered last year during the height of the war between Azerbaijan and Armenia, the Nagorno-Karabakh war. The Russians want those agreements in place because it means they've now been able to deploy more troops in the Caucasus, including to the southern Caucasus. They're reopening all the road links. They're apparently establishing more bases in Armenia itself. And they want Pashinyan there because they don't want another Armenian leader who might want to tear up these agreements, say they're a humiliation for Armenia, and let's start again. Russians don't want that at all. So even though he was the pro-Western leader of Armenia, they've now got him, in effect. He's now, politically speaking, tied to them because he's tied to them, because he depends on them, because they saved him from disaster last year. And at the same time, they're backing him. So it's this very strange situation where, as you rightly said, the pro-Western politician, the person who was seen as the pro-Western politician in Armenia, is now getting the backing of the Russians.
What's the lesson here to take from all of this? Because here you had the pro-Western guy, the NATO guy, like I said, many people said, and I can't confirm this, the George Soros guy. What many people were saying about Pashinyan. But anyway, you have this guy who, you could categorize as the anti-Russian guy. And all of a sudden, because of the decisions made and the results of the war, he is now the Russian guy. What are the lessons to be learned in the region here for other countries and for Armenia as well as it goes forward? You need to deal with Russia, maybe, is a lesson? Or, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, how did this happen to him? How did this happen to Pashinyan? He's going to stay in power, but there's no doubt about it that he is under the thumb of the Russians now. Absolutely. When he was the guy that was trying to get out of the thumb of the Russians.
I mean, there's a few things to say. Firstly, if you're talking about Armenians, I mean, Armenia has to accept that ultimately its guarantor is Russia. I mean, this is he tried to pull Armenia away from Russia, and he's ended up being even closer to the Russians than his predecessors were. So the realities, the geopolitical realities of the neighbourhood, given Turkey's presence, its links with Azerbaijan, is that Armenia has to have a strong relationship with the Russians in order to keep, in order to survive as an independent state. So that's an important lesson for Armenians, and it's an important lesson for Armenian politicians. I mean, ultimately, whatever they do, whatever their feelings about Russia may be, they have to maintain close relations with it. So that's one thing. The second is that it shows you how utterly cold-blooded the Russians are, in the sense that this was somebody who, as I said, was actually very critical of the Russians, or at least seemed to be, allowing criticism, quite a lot of criticism of Russia to circulate in Armenia. And yet they put all that aside. They say, you know, OK, now that you're on our side and we can you know, rely on you because you're under our thumb, well, you know, we will back you. So, I mean, it's not how the US acts. If you come out against the US, they will drive you away. They will never forgive you and they will never forget it. The Russians are totally, completely practical. If you change your policy, if you change what you are, they will embrace you and they will use you. The third is that despite all the efforts that have been made by various countries, and there was an important meeting recently between Erdogan and Aliyev, the Azerbaijani leader in Azerbaijan, the overwhelming reality remains what it always was, that Russia is the dominant power in the Caucasus, both in the northern Caucasus, which it has basically completely sewn up, but in the southern Caucasus too. There are now Russian troops in Armenia. They've always been there. There's also Russian troops in Azerbaijan. The Turks have been trying to find ways of getting themselves inserted into Azerbaijan also. They might be able to get a presence there, but ultimately it is the Russians who will dominate the Caucasus, and they will continue to do so for a fairly long time. And they play a very, very tough game. And countries that stray too far out of line from Moscow will find themselves in the end drawn back, however unwilling and reluctant they might be to see that happen.
Yeah, it really is a lesson in real politic.
Absolutely.
Armenia. I mean, just don't get a better lesson in real politic than what happened in Armenia. I mean, a tragedy, everything that happened in the last year, but it's just the reality of geopolitics that we're seeing there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I as somebody who has tremendous fondness for the Armenian people, I would remind them again of what the Greek historian Thucydides once said, that of the gods we believe and of men we know that the strong do as they will and the weak do as they must. Now, in relative to the great powers, Armenia is weak. And so it must make sometimes decisions which some Armenians may not wish, but which are forced upon them by geography and history. As it happens, I think for Armenia, a good relationship with Russia works well at many levels. Russians like Armenians, like Armenia. They have an affection for the country. They've always recognised, for example, the genocide that took place there. So this is not a bad relationship. But the risks of trying to drift away from it are too great for any Armenian leader to really want to contemplate, because they are too dangerous for the country. Now, what will happen? I'm going to just say one thing. I mean, Pashinyan has at various times spoken about the possibility that he might be able to attract, investment from Europe and America into Armenia and try to revive the Armenian economy and speed it up, accelerate its growth, and that he'll be able to deal with corruption. I'm not a student. I don't know very much about Armenian internal politics. Perhaps he will achieve that, in which case, good. One isn't saying that because Armenia has to have a strong relationship with Russia. It should forswear relations with other countries. But ultimately, it's the relationship with Russia that is the key one. It's the central one. And any Armenian leader may want better relations with the West, but ultimately he can only do that to the extent that it doesn't jeopardize the link. In fact, let's call it straightforwardly, the alliance with Russia. Armenia is part of a Russian alliance system, and it must remain so. I mean, just to give a few examples, a few weeks ago, there were Azerbaijanian troop intrusions into Armenia. They're actually, it seemed as if they were trying to break through and forge a corridor to Nakhichevan, which is an area of Azerbaijan, which is disconnected from Azerbaijan, and where they have to cross across Armenian territory to reach it. And that seemed to be what they were trying to do. They were trying to punch through. And who did Pashinyan ultimately have to turn to in order to prevent that and to try and get the border delimited and to get these Azerbaijanian troops? Ultimately, he had to turn to Russia.
It's understanding who the great power in your region is, and I think that's where the world is moving towards, understanding what region you're situated in as a country, where you are on the totem pole of power, and then understanding that you have to deal with the regional power, the regional big dog. Where is and on a side note, Armenia is in a unique position in that it does have a very large successful diaspora, so it's not unreasonable to look for investment from that diaspora. And I don't think an alliance with Russia impedes that in any way. So I don't think that's an issue. If you could comment on that. And finally, Alexander, I was going to ask you, how much of a regional power is Turkey? And we can close out the video there.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with that about the diaspora. And secondly, and I want to reiterate again, Armenia is lucky in that the great power that dominates the region is one which is culturally sympathetic to Armenia. I mean, it would be a very different situation if, you know, you had a great power that was hostile to Armenia and Armenian culture and Armenian nationhood. So in the sense that Russia is a great power and a potential ally, I think Armenians in some ways are lucky in that one respect, because of course Turkey is a power. And the Turks have been trying to build their relations with Azerbaijan. As I said, they've now forged what they're calling an alliance with Azerbaijan. I think if you look at the fine print, it's actually a lot less than that. But in Erdogan, you have a leader in Turkey who's extremely ambitious and is trying to push forward at every opportunity that he can. And he's very, very much got his eye on the Caucasus, and he's very keen to try and expand his influence there. Now, I think, again, he's playing a very dangerous game. We've discussed this at length. I was reading also that, you know, the poverty rates in Turkey now are around 20%. They're rising. So the economic situation in Turkey is unstable. But however much that is true, Turkey will always be there. It will always remain a major power. And it is in the region, it's close to the region, and it is structured to be hostile to Armenia. So, you know, Armenians need to understand that, and they need to understand that ultimately it's Russia that's the guarantor, and that Turkey is there on their border and is always a threat to them.
All right, we will leave it there. Guys, look for us on Odyssey, on BitChute, and on the Free Speech Video platform. Super You, please go to our Locals page, check it out, post your news to our community on Locals. We think you'll really like the Durant community on Locals, so definitely visit us there. And of course, Durant Shop, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS on all merchandise. You get 10% off. Take care.